All right. Well, you can go ahead and grab your Bibles. As Sean and Tono said, we are continuing looking at Proverbs this morning and Proverbs chapter 2. And so if you grab your Bible, open to the middle, you'll probably be in Psalms. Proverbs is just after that. And we are in the second chapter. And what we'll see and continue to see, Proverbs is a very practical book. This is unlike a lot of books in the Bible, a very practical book that wants to give us wisdom for how to live as a Christian in this world with a godly worldview. In fact, the whole book is a letter written from King Solomon to his teenage son, right? So this is for everybody. This is for youth. This is for kids. This is for us as adults on how to walk in wisdom before God. And so godly wisdom guides us when we ask this question, what do I do now? Right, we said that last week. What do I do now? When things and circumstances, situations come into our life and you go, what do I do now? Well, we need godly wisdom to know what to do next. And over the last couple days, I've been walking with a brother. I had a brother walk into my office, a very good friend on Friday, and said, man, I just lost my closest friend. He passed away. What do I do now? Right? And on top of that, I've had to resign from my job. He had a great job, high-paying job, but his company was doing some unethical things, and he said, I feel like God is moving me to resign. What do I do now? Right? Well, we prayed for God's wisdom, right? Like, Lord, we need to know what's next. Give us the right wisdom on what to do now. Even last night, I was here asking God in this sanctuary, moving my parents here next week from Nashville to here, and I go, God, I need some wisdom on how to get this done, right? Like, how do we do this well in a way that honors them, in a way that honors God as well? And so we're here this morning, maybe you're here this morning, trying to figure out what is the next wise step to take in your life. Solomon wants to help us, right? And whatever it is. Proverbs gives us good news that there is godly wisdom to be found, and God can lead you in the right next steps, right? Things that are good for you and things that will glorify Him and keep us from stumbling. So we saw last week, Proverbs chapter 1, that Solomon urged us, right? Like, son, you got to get wisdom. Like, let's get wisdom, church. That's what he's asking us. And he said the starting point of that wisdom is the fear of the Lord, that we place ourselves under His rule and reign, and this begins a process of gaining wisdom. What we're going to see here in chapter 2 is that Solomon is going to take one more step in our journey towards godly wisdom, and this is it. He's going to teach us that true wisdom actually comes from God and that it will lead us into right living. So, wisdom is not something I just conjure up in myself. It's not something I just gain from experience, but true godly wisdom comes from God Himself. He's the one that pours it out. And so we don't have to feel the inadequacy of not knowing what to do or trying to figure it out in our own heart and mind. But He's saying, look, seek the Lord, and He can give you good wisdom, right? This is His promise to us. And the challenge to us from Solomon this morning is, will you open your hearts to actually receive God's wisdom? Right? Or will you kind of keep Him at arm's length? Will you receive it and let it drive you to right living, or will you keep it at arm's length? You know, I was once in a seminary class. This is one of my favorite stories from seminary. And I had a great professor. He was a world-renowned scholar. He spent years studying the Bible. He spent a whole semester laying out what he thought to be the big story of the Bible, the meta-narrative of Scripture, how every piece fits together, and kind of came to a climactic point as he's ending on Revelation, and a guy behind me goes, I don't buy it. Well, I was like, well, you actually did buy it. You paid for the class, but you don't know enough to know if you do buy it or not, right? And I feel like that's sometimes what we do with what God tells us in Scripture. Like, I don't buy it, God. Right? And Solomon's saying, that's not where we need to be. We need a heart that wants to receive from the Lord and take it in, right? Receive the wisdom that God has to give us and then to begin to live it out as we apply it to our own hearts. And so Solomon is going to challenge us here right at the beginning of Psalm 2, or Proverbs 2, to open your heart, incline your heart to receive God's wisdom and let it shape how you live. Because true wisdom comes from God. Now, cool thing about Proverbs 2 is actually one big sentence. It doesn't reflect that way in our English, but it's one big sentence. It's 22 verses long to reflect the Hebrew alphabet, showing you the completion of wisdom. This is good to get. It encompasses everything, and you ought to let it hit your heart, right? So this morning, I want to just read our one sentence here. You guys, if you would, please stand with me as we read God's Word this morning in honor of reading of His Word. And we're going to hear Solomon's sentence to us today. Here's what Proverbs 2 says to us. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of His saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity and every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech who forsake the paths of uprightness, to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil. Men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. So also you will be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death, and her paths to the departed. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. So you will walk in the way of the good and keep the paths of righteousness. For the upright will inhabit the land, and those with integrity will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be rooted out of it. This is the word of the Lord. All right, let's look at a couple things here now that Solomon has said to us. This really breaks up into two big sections here this morning. Really, the first half of this chapter provides us a pathway in Proverbs 2, 1 through 8 on how do we get wisdom. Okay, he said, get wisdom. Starts with fear of the Lord. Now, how do we get it? And he gives us three if statements that if you will do these things, then you'll be on the pathway to wisdom. And so here are the things that he's saying we need to do to begin walking down this pathway. The first one is this: if you will internalize wise teaching, you're going to be on the pathway to wisdom. So son, right? Listen to me. Hear the wise teaching from me and your mom, the authorities in your life, in this case, mom and dad talking to their teenage son. If you will take in this wisdom and make it your aim to get wisdom, then you will, and apply it to your heart, then you're going to find wisdom. You know, I was thinking about this today, like we were talking about this in our Sunday school class this morning a bit. You ever been talking with your kids and you give them that all-important lecture number 647 on the value of hard work, and you can just see your kids' eyes turning off and their brain going somewhere else, right? Like, we've all had this experience, and kids and teenagers, you know what it feels like on the other side. You're like, I've heard this one before, maybe 1,000 times, and so your mind goes somewhere else. And Solomon's saying, son, don't do that actually, right? I mean, we as parents need to make wisdom as appealing as we can make it. But he's saying, son, the pathway to wisdom is actually to listen and then to want to apply it to your heart. And that's where you'll begin going down this pathway to wisdom. And like we said, parents, we need to make our teaching as enjoyable as possible, right? Even in preaching, I do my best to teach in a way that's relatable and enjoyable. I don't always hit the mark, right? But we want to do this in a way that our kids and those that God has put in our life that He has asked us to disciple can hear wisdom and want to open their hearts and apply it to them. In fact, Proverbs 2:2, he says, look, son, incline your heart to understanding. In other words, open your heart to receive wise teaching. Because if you close your heart to it, you're never going to get there, right? So let dad's teaching make it all the way to your heart. Solomon is saying you have something to do on your part to prepare yourself to receive wisdom. Then second if he gives us there. He says this, if also now you call out for it in Proverbs 2:3. So he's saying, look, you need to open your heart to it, and then you need to make it known that I want to learn. Like, help me out here. I don't know everything. It's a humble admittance that I need wisdom. Right? Like, I need to learn some things. 30 says this. 30 says this. You need to search. If you search for wisdom like treasure, in Proverbs 2:4 here. He's saying, look, okay, son, right? Like, open your heart. Right? Make it known you want to learn. Get ready to learn. And then I want you to search for this wisdom like it is the best treasure you have ever seen. Now, notice what Solomon did here. Last week he said, hey, son, there's this really great woman out there. She's super attractive. She's super smart. And you ought to seek her out. And this week he says, you know what wisdom's like? Wisdom is like this great treasure out there, and you ought to drop everything and go after it with all that you have. I don't know if you guys follow this, but every year there's a treasure chest that gets hidden in the Wasatch Mountains, somewhere between Ogden and Spanish Fork this year. You guys seen this? It's the Utah treasure hunt. Somebody just found it yesterday, by the way, so you're going to have to wait till next year. It's $25,000. They put in a box. They give a riddle. And you go after it. And we've done this as a family. We got really close one year, actually, I want you to know. If we'd just taken a right instead of a left, we'd have been $25,000 richer, right? But people go crazy over this. Like, they drop everything they have. As soon as that riddle hits the internet, they drop everything they got, and they go after that treasure like crazy until it's found. Solomon's saying that's the way you need to go for godly wisdom, right? You drop everything and seek after it like it's $25,000 waiting in the bushes for you. We got to find it, right? And part of the pathway to getting wisdom requires some effort and preparation on our part that we'd open our hearts to receive it, we'd make it known and humble ourselves and say we need wisdom and get out our pen and paper ready to write it down, and then we'd go after it, seek it out like it is the best prize in the world. A good way to teach your son about wisdom, right? He's a hot woman, and it's a lot of money. Let's go after it, son, right? Then he has a then statement. So three ifs, now then. Here's what's going to happen, Proverbs 2:5. Then, if you do these things, you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God, right? Remember he said, this is the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. If you will work at these things, get on this pathway towards wisdom, God will help you find wisdom. You will find it. This is always the Lord's invitation, right? If you seek me, you will find me every time. That's what God says. I'm even not that far away, God says, if you'll seek me. And we got to put ourselves on that pathway. If you'll seek wisdom, then you will arrive at the starting point that the beginning of wisdom is fearing the Lord, that there is this God out there that created me, and I have a responsibility to Him. So what do I need to do, Father? Right? Then He gives us the major point of how we get wisdom. So if you do these things, then you'll find the fear of the Lord. And then He says this. This is about God's character now. This is what He wants us to see. This is the next step He wants us to take. He says, for, Proverbs 2:6-8, for the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity. Okay, I want you to see the pattern here. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And then Solomon takes the next step with us in that journey towards wise living, and he tells us it is God who is the source of wisdom. Right? This is where it comes from. True wisdom for living in this world comes from God. And really important, we need to put in some work to seek it, but our search should lead us right to the foot of the cross. And then godly wisdom isn't something we conjure up in our hearts, but rather God gives it to us freely, right? So that we can walk in his ways. You know, last night, again, as I said, I was praying for wisdom. I was just asking, Lord, I'm not sure what to do in a couple of these circumstances. Right? Can you fill me up with the right wisdom here? Can you give me what I need? Right? Like, because I don't have all the answers. God, I need you, right? And God says he'll do it. In fact, one of the greatest promises in the Bible, I love this one, James 1, 5 through 8 says this, look, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God, right? And then it says, and let him ask God who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. Let him ask in faith without doubting. It's a great thing about what James is telling you here is that you don't have to be embarrassed that you don't know what to do. Right? Saying, look, you ask God and he wants to, he gives wisdom freely. It doesn't cost you anything. And he does it without reproach because he knows you don't know everything. He knows because of our sinful state, we don't know the ways to walk in godly living sometimes. He says, come and ask. Right? Like, come and ask me. And don't be embarrassed about it. You ever had that trusted friend that you could confide in when you need some help? And graciously and kindly they help you out. You can just come to them and be like, man, I don't know how to do this. Can you help me out? Right? And they like, let me show you. Right? Had great mentors in my life that were so kind and gracious to me. I knew that I could come with any question I had. And I didn't have to be embarrassed. I wouldn't be chastised because I didn't know what to do, even if it was something simple. And they'd just say, here's how, what you need to do, right? Thank you. That's what he's saying God is like. I had this experience with Phil Hers. He makes a lot of great furniture and things, and he helped me make a door this summer, and I just had to come to him and go, Phil, I don't know how to make a door, and I don't know how to use the tools you have to make it happen, right? And he said, well, let me show you. He did make fun of me a bit. He's not quite like God, but... But he showed me how to do it, right? If you need wisdom this morning, ask God, right? In other words, God's heart is to answer that request and to help you out. He's the source of all wisdom. He wants you to go in the right way. He wants to get you there. And so what do you need wisdom for this morning? Ask God, right? Let him speak to you and then begin to live out what he says. Right? Don't cast it aside. Now Proverbs 2, 7, and 8, it also gives us a promise, and here it is, for those that receive wisdom from the Lord and put those things into their heart and walk in them, it says, then God becomes a shield for you, he guards your way, and he watches over you. Well, those are some good promises right there. Like, I need that in my life. And some of this is implicit in wisdom itself. Like, if you are doing the right thing, it generally goes to the right ending, right? If you do the wrong thing, it generally goes to the wrong ending. And so God has written into the fabric of truth that when you live in his truth, it takes you to the right endings. And Christianity is about bringing our lives under the reign and submission of God. And rightly ordering our life under what he said is true. And that takes you to good places. Those things do guard you. I think it also speaks to the way, though, that God protects those that he loves. Right? That there is a supernatural protection that comes along with those that are seeking him, where he does protect us. And he will guard you, even when you don't know the way to go. And you may be here this morning and feel like, man, you're just out there flapping in the breeze, right? Like, man, I don't know what to do, and everything is coming at me, and it's kind of crazy out there. God's invitation to you is to come to him to find safety in his truth as you ask him for the wisdom you don't have, and he pours it out on you. And then you praise Him when you get to walk in the right way. So Solomon has given us a little on what it looks like to get wisdom. Here's the pathway. And then the second half of this section here in chapter 2 gives us, I think, the results of receiving wisdom from God in verses 9 through 15. And so there's just a couple here that I'm going to mention. One of them that he says in Proverbs 2, 9 through 11 is this, that we will understand what it looks like to live a godly life. So if God gives wisdom, then actually you know what it looks like to be a person who is walking in God's ways. You know what it looks like to go the right way. Like Proverbs 2, 9 says, you will receive understanding and righteousness and justice and equity and every good path. In other words, you will receive truth and wisdom from God and you'll know the right way to go. You get understanding in all the buzzwords, like we said last year, that our world is desperately trying to define and live in, says God's got it. And you'll understand it. So how does God lead us in the right way to go? Well, He does it through His Word applied to our hearts through the Spirit. Okay, this is how He does it. In fact, Jesus talks about this in John 14, 26, and then again in 16, 13. He says this. He says, look, when I go, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that He has said, or all that Jesus and God has said. And when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. So we believe that the Word, God, the Bible is God's Word. God has said these things, right? They have come through Jesus, who is the Word of God Himself. And Jesus is saying, the Holy Spirit now will teach you through God's Word and bring it to mind and show you the way to go. Well, what does that mean? It means you need to know God's Word, right? Like you need to be in God's Word so that the Holy Spirit can speak to you. Isaiah gives us a little insight into what that sounds like, actually. I love this verse. Isaiah 30, 21, he's looking to the new age when the Messiah has come, and he says, this is how you're going to walk as God's people. He says, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, and you ought to walk in it. And when you turn to the right or to the left, like you'll hear God speaking to you and directing you in the way you should go. This is godly wisdom. It comes from the Lord. We see in Proverbs 2:10, he says, for wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. That's pretty funny, it sounds like. Like, think about that for a second. God will pour out wisdom, and it'll teach you the way to go, and it will go down pleasant in your soul. I love that, right? Like, that's a good promise. You know, Satan has put a lie in our culture, and it creeps into our soul that godly living or right living is boring. You ever heard that? You ever felt that? Or that it causes us to miss out on the real pleasures of life. That's baloney. I mean, that is a lie straight from hell. This is saying that godly wisdom, man, it tastes good. Right? It goes down really good. That's the same lie that Adam and Eve believed when they thought they could find better blessing apart from what God had said. And so they took it on themselves because they wanted to be like God. Get you in a mess every time. Saying, but true wisdom comes into our heart, and when it does, it goes down smooth and it tastes really good. You know, I was in construction for many years, grew up with my dad who was in construction for 50 years, and I can make a lot of tools do things that they're not supposed to do. I can make a flathead screwdriver do some amazing things. Like it's a knife, I can use it as a chisel. I like to take it and chisel out old grout and put in new grout. But you know, if I get the tool that does that job instead of using that dull, you should see my flathead screwdriver. It's like rounded. It's not even a screwdriver anymore. But if I get the right tool, man, you know how pleasing that joker is? Like you get that thing in there taking out grout, that electric thing that just goes buzzes it all right out. That is pleasing to my soul. This is what God's saying about wisdom. Right? Like you can walk in the ways of the world and you can make things happen, but it's like using that darn flathead screwdriver to take out grout. When you get real godly wisdom, it is pleasing to your soul, just like the right tool for the job. God says, get it. Solomon says, get it. Look at this too. I love this. We were discussing this in our class this morning here a bit, but Isaiah 11, 1 through 3, it's looking forward to the coming Messiah, the root of Jesse, who tells us that he's going to come and the Spirit of the Lord is going to rest on him. He's speaking of Christ, that he will have the spirit of wisdom and understanding and knowledge and fear of the Lord, and that his delight would be in the fear of the Lord. Now think about that for a second. Later in Proverbs, and in the New Testament, Jesus will be identified as the wisdom of God. What Solomon is saying is, get wisdom, and the Bible is going to say that wisdom is Christ. That's where you find the wisdom of God. He reveals everything about God and what God requires of us, and he makes a way for us to be in relationship with him. And when the Bible points to wisdom, he says it comes from God, and it's ultimately found in the person of Christ, that he is the beginning of the fear of the Lord. And if you want to receive wisdom from God, then it starts with receiving Christ into your life and begin listening to what he has to say and the ways he wants to transform you. But I like these verses in Isaiah that are talking about the coming Christ because it puts two things together that we don't think about. Fear of the Lord, and that can be a delight. Okay, think about that for a second. Fear of the Lord, what we see in the Bible, is closely related to doing, living out God's commandments. We kind of think of fear of the Lord emotionally, like I'm scared of God, but it's so much more than that. It's being in awe, right, and reverence to God and living our life in right relation to God. But that drives us, actually, then to do the things of God. And so fear of the Lord gets equated with living out his commandments, which in the New Testament says the way you love God. And it's saying Jesus, when he comes, will delight in doing the right things that God has shown him. Right? This is what it looks like. So when we think about knowing God and living in wisdom, it's saying, listen, it can be a delightful thing. It's good for our souls. It tastes good. It makes life good. It's better. It's better than the lie the world is telling you. Right? God's ways are better. And Jesus' whole mission was to glorify the Father in a life lived out through true godly wisdom. Right? This is what he was doing. And we, like our Savior, when we live in godly wisdom, will actually find pleasure in our lives. Listen, I like to be honest in my life. I try to be as honest as I can in different areas of my life, my finances, in my relationships, in so many areas of my life. And that is pleasing to my soul. You know why? Because I don't have to worry about getting caught in a lie. I can relax. Like if my financial dealings are upright, you can kind of sit back and go, take a look, right? Like I have rest and peace in my soul. It's good. It's a delight, right? And we can apply that to so many areas of our life. That godly wisdom applies to our hearts and lived out can be really enjoyable. Second thing he points out in this section is that we will be guarded from the ways of evil if we receive wisdom from the Lord. You see this in Proverbs 2, 12 through 15. He says, look, wisdom will keep you off the pathways of evil and away from the perverted speech of evil. And I like this one. The Bible speaks a lot about our speech. I just want to mention it here for a second, how a Christian should talk. You know, Ephesians 4, 29 tells us, like, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up and it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. So Solomon is saying, wisdom from God affects your speech, right? I can think of the speech, you know, Isaiah, when he meets God, he says, Lord, I'm a person of unclean lips, and I live in a people of unclean lips. And I fear so many times we live in that same space, right? Sexual humor, profanity, gossip, tearing someone down, calling others demeaning names. I've been guilty of these in my life. They all would be unwholesome talk and perverted speech that Solomon says wisdom leads you out of. That's the way of the wicked to do those things. Might even just take a second this morning, grade yourself, right? How's my speech? If someone heard you talk at work, and then at home, and then in private, and with your friends, what would they hear? Would they go, man, that is godly wisdom coming out of that guy's mouth? Or they go, that's the way of evil. That's perverted speech that we got going on there. And that's not the right way of wisdom. Ephesians also says this about the way we should go with our speech. Ephesians 5:19 says, address one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord in your heart, and giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be around that person, right? That's an encouraging person to be around. And they are speaking the truth of God to others. That builds them up. This is what God wants from us. Working at building others up and yourself in the Lord with your speech. And Solomon says, godly wisdom leads you in that way. You know, we kind of got this thing. Well, let me say this. We were celebrating the life of one of the saints of our church yesterday, Karen Brown, at her memorial service. And one thing I loved about Karen is that whenever you got together with Karen, you know what she was talking about? She's talking about what God was teaching her. She was talking about what she was praying for. And she wanted to know how she could pray for you and build you up. Right? Doesn't mean Karen didn't have hard things in her life. She talked about those things too. But they are always in the context of who God is and how he could help us get through things. I mean, that's the kind of speech I want to have. This is where godly wisdom takes you out of the path of the wicked. And listen, there is no easier day than today to set yourself apart as a Christian than by your speech. Listen, I challenge you. Like, work at godly speech. It is one of the greatest witnesses. You will stand out when you don't complain and give thankfulness, right? When you keep your mouth away from perverse speech. And so Proverbs 2:12-15 also reminds us again that the way of evil is dark, it is perverse, it is crooked and devious, but the way of wisdom keeps you out of those paths and walking in a path of light that is light and beneficial and blesses others. In fact, again, right, we said this last week, but a good diagnosis of godly wisdom, which way we should go, is it in the dark and underhanded, where if a reasonable person found out about what's going on, they would question what is done, or is it in the way of light, and it is honest, and it has nothing to apologize for? That's the way of godly wisdom. Two more things here. A third thing he says here. Result of walking in wisdom is this, that you will be delivered from the forbidden woman, the adulteress. Now Solomon is going to say a lot about this, right? So we're going to save some of the things we want to say about that. But you see here in Proverbs 2:16-19, he's going to say a lot about this forbidden woman. But here he's saying, look, godly wisdom will keep you from being enslaved to sexual temptation. That's good for us to hear. Because there's many of us that are here and are enslaved to sexual temptation this morning. And God's saying, through Solomon, you don't have to be enslaved if you get godly wisdom. God can give you the wisdom of how to get out of that. Right? Like he's saying, men, women, if you apply godly wisdom to your heart, you can defeat sexual temptation. And that could be an adulterous relationship. That could be the temptation to an adulterous relationship. That could be the allure of pornographic images or videos that are all around us and pop up on everything we do on the internet. It could be the boyfriend or girlfriend youth that wants to take things too far, right? It could be the adulterous man or the man that wants to take advantage of a woman for her body or emotionally control her. He's saying godly wisdom will keep you out of that trap. Godly wisdom can break that trap. Godly wisdom can heal your sexual sin and break the chains of sexual temptation. And I know it to be true. He's done it in my life. Proverbs reminds us that the forbidden woman, those who tempt us into sexual temptation, do not fear God, and they forget their covenant before God. Right? They've cast God off. They've gone the way of the foolish. What Solomon is saying is they're not wise, right? In the beginning he said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and those who despise it are foolish. Well, here's a prime A, number one example. But godly wisdom will keep you out of this woman's grasp. And it's a good thing because Solomon says here, she's going to lead you straight to death. Right? Like this will take you down, and we know it. You get tangled up with her, likely you may not make it back. But godly wisdom can lead you back through repentance and faith in Christ and His power to get us in the right places and break our chains. But here's the promise of God, right? If you apply wisdom from God about how sexuality is meant to function as humans, how it's meant to be ordered, how we can honor God and even glorify God through the gift of sex and the bonds of marriage, you'll know the right thing to do when sexual temptation comes your way. And you'll have the power to stand against it. Because you'll have formed in your heart what God has said about sexuality and relationships and what they should look like. And wisdom helps us identify what that should be. And the fear of the Lord in this area of your life, guess what? It can be pleasant to your soul. Often we think of God here and we're scared of Him in this area because we're so broken, right? God's going to come whack us. He's going to hit us over the head, right? But listen, I don't like to feel dirty from sexual sin. I don't know if that's you, but I don't like it. I would rather feel clean. And so God is saying, when you walk in the right ways, you get to feel clean, and that is way more pleasant than whatever short-term joy I could get out of sexual sin. I much prefer the safety and freedom of my sex life and the plan that God has for marriage than in the insecurity of promiscuity. It's much more pleasing. And God says when you get godly wisdom, you get to enjoy that the way it was meant to be enjoyed. Free, with no shame, just like it was in the garden. So there is forgiveness if you are stuck in this area of sin in your life. Ask God for the wisdom and the power. Let Christ come into your life, transform your heart, forgive your sin, and begin to help you to walk in the right ways. And if you're struggling there, we'd be more than happy to talk to you about what it looks like to break these chains of addiction. It can be really good, and God can help you get there. All right, final thing He tells us here. Walking in wisdom receives from God will do this for you. It will help you live long. Basically, He says, you will abide. You can think of the old movie, right? The Dude Abides. Don't watch that movie, but the quote's funny. Basically, He's saying, through all the ups and downs of life, wisdom causes you to remain steadfast and immovable, right? For as many days as God would give you. In fact, Proverbs 2:21, He says, those with integrity will remain in the land. Okay, this is the second time that Solomon has mentioned integrity in this passage. He said it in Proverbs 2:7, that the Lord will shield those who walk in godly integrity. And I think it's good for us to ask just for a second, what is godly integrity, right? What is integrity? Well, it's an alignment between what you believe and how you act, right, and your behavior. So that when anyone looks at an aspect of your life, you act the same way in all aspects and areas of your life based on what you believe. Okay, that's integrity. In this case, He's saying if you walk in godly wisdom in every area of your life, you're going to be immovable because God has empowered that. Okay, you can think of it like this. I like to think of integrity like a chest of drawers. Like one drawer, you might put your work life, right? Another drawer, peek that open, that's your family life. Another drawer is your private life that maybe only you see what's in that drawer. It's where you keep all your underwear, right? And there's different drawers of our life. And what integrity looks like is that if anybody went and opened any one of those drawers, you know what they'd find? They'd find a devoted follower of Jesus in every area. That's integrity, right? There's no difference that I believe this, I've taken it into my heart, and it has caused me to live out in a way in every area of my life that says I believe what God has said and what is true wisdom. And you live a godly life in integrity, you can be assured by God you will not be moved, is what he's saying. Because there's no variance in your life to trap you. There's no trap to fall into. Because it's all been given to the Lord. You are full of integrity and you are above reproach. And here he references remaining in the land. This is a reference back to the Mosaic Covenant. As Solomon is king of Israel, thinking about the ways God promised, if you will live in my commandments, you'll do my things, you will live in the promised land forever with me. If you don't, then I'll kick you out, right? I'm going to discipline you as a son. And we know in the future that if we persevere in Jesus, we will receive life in the new heavens and new earth, and we will remain there forever because he has imparted wisdom and he has changed our life so that we can be there. But even right now, as God's people, this passage says to us, if you will live a godly life, you will abide as long as God sees fit in all the days that he gives you, right? And he gives us different days. And I want to abide, right? Like, I think we all want to abide. I want to live the good life that God is offering for as many days as he sees fit. That's where I want to be. And he says it comes when you receive godly wisdom into your heart. And we apply it to our heart. Band, you can come on up here. So Solomon has taken us on a next step in our journey towards wisdom here in chapter 2. Right? He's saying, look, you got a few things you got to do if you want to be on this pathway to wisdom. You got to open your heart to it, that you would receive it. You got to make it known that you want to follow it. Get out your notepad ready to write down what wisdom is. Right? And you got to live it out. You got to actually apply it to your heart and receive it from the Lord and seek it like it's a great treasure. And he says, when you do that, you'll find the fear of the Lord. Right? You'll get godly wisdom. You will receive godly wisdom. And God gives us wisdom so that we can live as Christians in this world. And he gives it to us from his great storehouse of wisdom. Right? True wisdom for living comes from God. That's what he wants us to know this morning. And so you might ask yourself this morning, where do I need godly wisdom? Right? We said that. Like, where in your life, what area of your life do you go, man, I just need God to speak into this area of my life. I don't know what to do. I don't know what the next steps are. In fact, I've messed up some things in this area of my life, and I don't know how to get out of the trap and chains that I'm in. And God says, I'll show you how to do it, right? If you don't know Jesus, then the first step he'd show you is come to the embodiment of wisdom, who is his son, Christ. Give your life to him. Be washed free of your sins, and then begin to follow Jesus' voice in your life that will lead you into the good things God has for you. And he will give those things to you generously and without reproach. You don't have to be ashamed. You don't know what's next. He says, come to the Lord, and he'll fill you up with wisdom. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word that speaks so deeply into our hearts. Father, we are all in need of wisdom, God. I just place myself, and I know many in the room would do the same thing, humbly before you and say, God, we don't know it all. We don't know the best steps to take. We don't know how to unravel the messes we have made. God, we need your wisdom in our life. Would you speak into our lives today? And then, God, would you give us the courage and the power to actually walk in the ways that you share with us. Father, for those that don't know Jesus this morning, I pray even right now they give their life to you. They say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I've made a mess. I have not walked in wisdom. Please forgive me. Come into my life and show me what it means to walk in true godly wisdom. I'm yours. Father, for the rest of us, be with us this week as we attempt to walk in wisdom. Show us the ways to go and help us to walk in the ways that you show us. Father, thank you for this morning. In Christ's name, we pray. Amen.